Hello and welcome to episode number two of Splash Pad, a TCU On As I podcast focusing on the TC women's basketball team. I'm your host, Tori Couch, and I'm joined by the voice of Killer Frogs, JD Andrus. We are recording on Sunday, November 17th, just hours after TCU's 76-73 win against number 13 NC State. And with the win, TCU is now 4-0. JD, how are you doing today?
I am excited to be here. It's changed my background. If you're listening to this, I'm sorry you're not gonna get to see this, but I'll describe it. If you're watching, I've changed it before. If you see me on the football one or baseball one, it's Sonny Dykes and Co. There's a train behind me because I'd like to become the conductor of the TCU women's basketball hype train. I talked about it before, but it's not too early to say the best team in program history, and I'm so excited that we are a women's program sports school now, Tori.
Yeah, no, I'm all with you. I'm on the hype train. It's impressive what's going on with this team. This win today was an impressive win to hang on. TCU had about an 11-point lead, which is a couple minutes left. They kind of let that slip a little bit, still came away with a 3-point win. To do that, to do it against a team that was in the Final Four last year, even though it's not the same roster returning, still a very good program. And this is the kind of win you want if you're Mark Campbell early on in your TCU career.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's not the same team that South Carolina returned last year, but they returned over 70% of their scoring from that roster. So it's still partially a lot of the same production that you've seen. TCU also returned two of their, more than two of their biggest returners from last year and added HVO, of course, but giving them some extra people to play around them, HVO, Taylor Bigby had a big game, Donovan Hunter, like you are setting this team up for success. And we've talked about it before when we started the season of what could this team really look like. And I still think, even after the game today, that I still think that there's leaps and bounds more of what they're capable of.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. In the postgame press conference, Coach and Haley Van Lith and Sona Prince were all asked kind of what does this team learn for this? How do you take this moving forward? And they said, you enjoy it, but you're kind of already moving on because this season is so long. You have Notre Dame, South Carolina, and the entire Big 12 schedule ahead of you. And they were nitpicking so many things, of how they can get better. And I think that's to your point of just they played so well and they can play so much better.
Yeah, especially when you look at the fact that they started the game shooting 0 from 7 from 3, which is very uncharacteristic of this team and what they're capable of, including Madison Connor. Once she got the scoring kind of started on the three department, it kind of started to follow and turn on. But starting the game off that slow and still being able to retain the lead that they had at halftime was very, very big for what this team was able to do. They're able to fight it out on both sides of the ball. Both teams started slow. Wasn't really much defensive prowess, just kind of a little bit of sloppy shooting from both teams to start the game. But it was really, really nice to see TC be able to kind of control the ball for a little bit, and be able to just play man-to-man defense with a team as talented as North Carolina State is. And I think it's really good to be able to see that, you know what, they have the personnel that can match up with any of the guard system within the country.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You're right. It was not the prettiest start by any stretch. Now you mentioned the guards, and I think that's going to be one of the things that's going to be a consistent theme this season is they're going to have guards that are e either better than or equally matched to almost every single team they play. So that's going to be a huge, huge battle. I think the big differentiating factor, and it was tonight, is Sedona Prince. She had 31 points on 14 to 24 shooting, 16 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks, and she played the entire game. You could tell at the end she was a little tired. Her shots were a little bit short, but even still, she played so well, and she had that double-double midway through the third quarter. South Carolina, or excuse me, NC State did not have an answer really for her. You could see them trying different defenders on her, different players. There was one point in the I believe it was the fourth quarter. She made a move, kind of got stuck under the basket, kept her pivot foot, and then made this really tough layup. And as they're going back down the court, I could see the NC State coach just kind of looking at his player like, come on. It's like, what do you do as a coach when you have someone on the other team who just is that versatile. Can make her 15-foot shots, make her free throws, make these tough layups. I mean, it Campbell, after the game, Mark Campbell said it's the best game Sedona's had at TCU, and I agreed.
Yeah, I mean, it's already unfair, right? That she's the, I believe, the fourth tallest player in all of women's basketball at 6'7". And then she's able to create the space that she can by shooting the 15 footers. Like, it's an TCU, like, we've talked about how they have depth behind her, but no one as talented as her. For her to be able to kind of create that space and still play even more small ball is just so huge for what this roster can do. You saw, I believe it was in the fourth quarter, where she ended up getting four different rebounds with the team, right under the basket, and NC State just had no answer for it. There were three girls on her at one point. Like, it is what she can do to a game is super, super game changing overall, and what she can do for the team. I saw HVL was praising about how it's so easy to play with her, which is true. Like, the pick and roll was working. It wasn't working the first 5 minutes of the game, and then after that, I don't know what clicked or changed, but it was dominant. And being able to just run that and then be able to dish it out to Madison Connor in the wing too is going to be something that going forward is going to be really big for this team. Tori, I do have a question though. All five of the starters played over 30 minutes. Sedona played all 40. Is this kind of what you're expecting to see? And I know we'll talk about it later, but kind of what you're expecting to see against the big name teams. We have the Notre Dame game coming up, South Carolina coming up in a few weeks. Like, is this kind of what you're expecting now from the roster for the big games?
Maybe Coach Campbell was asked about that in the post game press conference, and he said, for this game, this is what they needed to do. This was kind of the way the personnel played out and the way the game kind of played out. I think moving forward, you are going to see a tight bench kind of like this, where I think eight people got in total. One other player, Agnes Emin-Nwopu, got over 10 minutes. She was coming up. She just came back in the Texas State game from an injury. So I think she's kind of trying to just get back into basketball shape a little bit. So I think, someone like her, you're probably going to see her play a little bit more when she's back in shape. And he was saying he has so many players that he can play. But not all of them can play 30 minutes. So I think too, it'll depend on matchups. It'll depend on just kind of flow of the game and things like that. So I think, yeah, you're going to see a short bench against some of these really, really good teams. But who gets those 30 minutes or some 20 minutes might vary depending on matchups and things like that.
Yeah, I think it'll be really good. We'll talk about this later, but the other tune-up games that they have, getting Aaliyah Robertson in there, getting her a lot more game reps going in. And I was gonna save the question for later, but I want to ask it now while we're on the topic of minutes. Is Maddie sure when she comes back? What if you're Mark Campbell? What's your plan for her? Are you taking someone out of the lineup? Are you bringing her off the bench? What are you doing with her? Because you're forgetting that she was supposed to be the projected number one going into the season, and she's not even playing yet. Like, this team is still getting healthy and getting better.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I don't want to try and guess what Mark Campbell's thinking is, because kind of to your point, there's so much talent here. There's so many things you could do. You could put her into the lineup as a starter. But who right now are you going to take out? They're all playing so well. Taylor Bigby's probably, because she was the sixth person of the year for USC last year. So she's maybe the least experienced of the group, but it's really hard to say that when you watch her play, because she's making big plays. She had TCU, I don't want to call it the game winning, but the last layup of the game to give TCU a 3-point lead. She had a huge offensive rebound with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter that kept a possession alive for TCU. So, like, there's nobody in that starting lineup that you just go, oh, well, somebody else needs to step in. So I'm not sure what he's going to do. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he handles that, because you're right, you're just adding more depth, and you're not full strength yet.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those that you're gonna have to have a really you're gonna be gifted with a really, really good six man, which you already have one in Agnes, who has been fantastic for TCU in her time at the program. But I think, when you're looking at the stats from the game, Like TCU was 38% in first quarter shooting for the field, 50% in the second, 66% in the third, and then you drop all the way to 28% in the fourth quarter. Like, if you've got a little bit of talent on the bench, then maybe it's best to play it because, you know, like you said, Sedona was kind of showing it at the end, and I know it's the last 2 minutes of the game, but it's just something that getting these girls some game time in the tune-up games, and especially against a team like Notre Dame that is going to have the talent but isn't going to be overpowering talent, that will be really interesting to see how Mark Campbell navigates it going forward.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned kind of the shooting and that fourth quarter. You know, they did get an 11-point lead, but it just you could just tell that they had not played together in those types of situations. And Haley Van Lith during the press conference said you could see the nervousness of the team during the fourth quarter because they just aren't used to playing together. They aren't used to, hey, this is where I'm going to cut in that situation or where to look for me, those types of things. Campbell mentioned the shot selection wasn't as good in that time frame, and I think they rushed some shots a little bit. There was a little, I wouldn't say panic, but you just tell they were not quite as smooth in their operation in those last couple minutes. But to be able to fend off NC State and get the win, I think also speaks a lot to just how talented and how veteran this team is. And that's another thing that Campbell talks about consistently. This is a veteran team. And, you know, Donovan Hunter, she's a sophomore, but she's played in Elite Eight. So she's, these types of games are not new to her. So that I think is something that as they get used to playing with each other is going to be really important is that they're veteran players going through these experiences together.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really undervalued part of it. Just touch on it real quick is Donovan Hunter, Haley Van Lith, even Sedona Prince has had really, really big experience in those big games before throughout their career. That while the rest of the team is veterans of women's basketball, maybe not to as big as situations at that. It's really nice that TCU had a home game for this, that they're going to have South Carolina technically neutral court, but really home court advantage, or at least it should be that. It'll be really interesting to see how this helps Madison Connor, Taylor Bigby, Agnes, Saleah Robertson, how a game of this magnitude and being able to realize at the end that, yeah, it got close, but they were still able to close it out when it mattered, how big of a role that will play for their confidence going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just to kind of touch on a few more things from this game. So Haley Van Lith had 18 points and 10 assists, and she joined the 2000 career point club during the third quarter. I mean, that's just so impressive. She's, I think she might be the only active player in college basketball over that mark. There might be one or two others, but I mean, that is such rare air to be in the 2000 point club. The 10 assists was a career high for her. And that was something she wanted to do. She wanted to set a new career high in this, you know, when she could. And it just happened to come against NC State at a very good time for TCU. You know, and she talked in the post game about how she's kind of transforming into a new player. She's always been a scorer, but now she's kind of become a playmaker over a scorer. And Sedona's benefiting, Madison's benefiting, everybody's benefiting from that. And I think you see just how dangerous that combination of Van Lith and Prince can be against elite competition. You know, you talked about that earlier, and also you still have Madison Connor who can play the pick and roll with Sedona. You have Taylor Bigby who will be able to do a little bit. You have all these guards who will be able to play it with Prince. So I still think there's a lot of good things to come for this group as a whole, but especially Haley Van Lith and Prince, I think they're going to continue to grow together.
Yeah, the HVL, I don't know if you've seen the video or anyone listening to this has seen the video on TCU women's basketball page of Mark Campbell talking with Haley Van Lith about this being her first double-double with assist instead of rebounds. And she broke down crying, and she just talked about how much it meant to her. And it's like she genuinely looks like she belongs in the program. Like, I know a lot of people say that when you get there, but it feels like there's so much pressure off of her that she hasn't had at all of her schools before this, that it's like she can kind of be who she wants to be and have fun and play the game she wants. And also, you just mentioned Madison Connor and Sedona Prince on the pick and roll. They had that connection really, really well last year before the injury started to happen. That it is, you saw Madison Connor kind of take the one a little bit throughout the game, that it is something that if they're keying on HVO and Sedona on the pick and roll, then Madison Connor can run it. Or if you need to give them that break and let Madison run the one, HVO needs to sit the bench and Maddie Sher comes in. Like, you have the options that I think you just this team is just playing so well for what we expected coming into the season already that I'm so excited for what is going to happen throughout.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that Haley said in the post game, she said, "I miss a lot of shots I usually make." And you could, she did. She had some layups that just rimmed out and things like that. And you're sitting there going, "You won by three, and you probably missed at least three shots that you make." And Sedona missed a few of those. Like, so then you start to add those things up where you're like, "Oh, okay, this team can really score, and really, the more time they have, they're really going to become dangerous."
The underrated part too is just the defensive part of it being able to force a team that is as experienced in scoring. Like I said, NC State returns 70% of their scoring from the Elite Eight team. Like, and you force them to take some really, really bad shots and uncharacteristic shots for what they've grown to do. It is extremely telling of, where Mark Gamble has them defensive wise as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I will say, the for NC State, their guard, Isaiah James, she did hurt TCU quite a bit. She had 27 points, including 5-11 from three. I think that was one thing that Campbell mentioned in the post-game press conference was her specifically. It was just like, we gotta remember to stay on the shooters and things like that. And so th there were some slip ups like that on defense, but to your point, overall, they made NC State look uncomfortable at times, and they tried to go down low to their centers and their forwards. I don't know that they I if I'm looking at the box right, I don't think they scored. That was how much Sedona bothered them, and then just their ability to just distract the guards a little bit and make them uncomfortable. So I think you're right. I think their defense is something that's a little bit underrated as well. What else from the NC State game you want to touch on? Anything else?
Other than the fact that like seeing the football team there showing out for support was really cool, and seeing that, I mean, I know it wasn't a sold out crowd and it wasn't the most packed crowd by any means, but it was probably the most that DC women's basketball has had in a good bit. And it was really good to see, like, there were a lot of young kids in the crowd. Like, you're kind of seeing a changing of the guards. Like, Tori, TCU's going to be ranked for the third time, or at least should be ranked for the third time in program history. Like, this is an unprecedented era that we are entering in. And
No.
it's so exciting to see it because, like, this, I'm sorry, but I may be out of line and I don't think I am, but it's the best team in program history and we're four games into the season. Am I wrong for saying that?
The only team that I think you can make an argument with on that is the 2020 team that never got the opportunity to play in an NCAA tournament. That's a team that people thought could have maybe made it to the Sweet 16. So, but we'll never know because they never had that opportunity. I look at this team, and so I'm not sitting here saying, "Well, I think this team is going to make the Final Four." No, I'm sitting here right now today after this game, going, "This team is making the tournament. That is my expectation number one. They're going to make the tournament. They should get to the Sweet 16, and then from there, anything can happen."
You're playing with, dealer money at that point.
Exactly. And so, and to your question, I think we got to see how this season plays out, but there's potential for this to be, we're watching the best team in program history, potentially. I think we got to see how things play out, but I think there's a lot of potential to that.
Okay. And then last question on the South Carolina game, and then if you want to move on, we can. How much more confidence does the win today give you for the upcoming game against South Carolina in 3 weeks?
A lot more confidence. You mentioned that. So NC State did play South Carolina earlier this year. That was their only loss coming into this game. NC State lost 71-57. Just looking at some quick hits on that box score, South Carolina won the points in the paint battle 50-30. That's kind of how things went for TCU today. They kind of dominated inside the paint with Sedona and just driving in. And that was one thing I really liked seeing in the second half was the guards got way more aggressive, drove in, went for the and ones and things like that. So it was really nice to see. The NC State bigs had combined for They had 8 total points against South Carolina versus South Carolina's bigs put up 20 points. So South Carolina has a little bit more size than NC State, but not really one dominant player, kind of like Sedona. And then their guards, I think, are going to be a little bit of a step up from NC State. That's saying a lot because NC State's guards are they're elite. I think just kind of at a quick glance, I think, South Carolina is a better team than NC State. I don't think they're significantly better, but they're definitely better. And they're the defending national champ. You have Dawn Staley, who she can turn just about any team into, just an incredible version of themselves. So, I do have a lot more confidence in this team, though, going into that game, especially because, and we're going to talk about it soon, they're going to get another good test against Notre Dame coming up here in a week or so. And we'll touch more on South Carolina in a future podcast because when that game falls on December 8th. But I am more confident in what this team can do against South Carolina.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
I think it just kind of proved to me that, and I've talked about it a little bit, is kind of my whole question was we knew that they'd be good on defense. We just didn't know exactly how good they would be on defense. And I think this game alone gave me enough. We know that their offense is going to be extremely potent, that they could score from any point with Sedona beyond the arc anyway. And their defense alone showed me enough today that I believe that they can really, really maybe shock a few people, maybe shock themselves, and at least make it a very close game, if not anything.
Yeah, exactly. And you had mentioned real quick the attendance. What is officially on the Go Frog site is 3,220 in attendance today. That is a fantastic turnout. It was loud. You could just tell people were excited to be there and are excited about this program. So that was a really fun game to be at. And I fully expect them to be ranked whenever the polls come out next.
What do you think they end up at?
I'd say somewhere around 20, just because they're not in the polls at the moment. Somewhere between 25 and 20 would be my guess. But if you keep winning, you're going to creep up into that top 15, top 10 real fast.
I think when it's all said and done, and we're gonna about to talk about it soon, but if they do take care of business against the likes of Notre Dame, I think they end up finding themselves in a top 15 game against South Carolina.
Absolutely. Well, so we're going to take a very, very quick look back at how we got to 4-0. Obviously, TCU won today against NC State. They came into that 3-0 with wins over Houston Christian, a very dominant 78-41 win, New Orleans 107-52, and then Texas State 90-31. Not a whole lot to write home about with these games. Houston Christian was about Van Lith and Prince. That's where you started to see, okay, these two are going to be a dangerous combo. And then New Orleans and Texas State was all about the 3-point shot. They made 16 threes in both games, which is a record under Coach Campbell. And Madison Connor had her fourth career 30-point game at TCU in the win over New Orleans, which is tied for first all time in the program. So there's a very high likelihood before this season ends, she has the opportunity before the season ends to be the all-time leader in number of 30-point games in women's basketball. So that's pretty darn impressive,
Yeah.
considering she missed a huge chunk of last season. So that's how we got to 4-0. Then just kind of chatting about if we've talked a lot about some of these things, but just going through those first four games, there were a couple things that stood out to me at least about this team was one, they can win in a lot of different ways. They love shooting the three. They're averaging 30 attempts per game, which is top 10 nationally. So they're going to rely on that three, but they can also win with Haley Van Lith and Prince. And I think today against NC State, you kind of saw that. That's not primarily how they won, but that really got them going and opened up some other things, I think.
Yeah, I think that's kind of something that they're gonna that, not that they have to rely on, but those are your sparks, right? Like you maybe like you have a Madison Connor takeover game or something along those lines, but like at the end of the day, you go as far as that duo goes.
We chatted a little bit about the depth, and because we had talked about how the bench kind of shortened up against NC State. So it was first three games being blowouts. Everybody got onto the court. Seven people played at least 10 minutes, and that was your starters, and then a couple other people off the bench. With the way this team likes to play, that fast-paced offense, they need the depth. They need to be able to give Prince and the other guards breathers. And everybody can score. I think that's one of the really nice things about this depth is all the starters can score. All the starters were in double digits tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Donovan Hunter, she had 4 points, but she played so well on defense that she didn't need to score a ton. But they all can score, and you've got some others coming off the bench who can score in bunches, and I think that's going to be really nice when somebody does have an off night. If Van Lith for whatever reason has a night where she just can't score, it's okay because you have so many other options of people who can potentially go off.
Yeah, you're going to see that against, and I know I'm alluding to it, but you're going to see that against South Carolina is they have the talent that can go one-on-one with Sedona and HVL. Like, you're going to have to see, the Taylor Bigby, the Donovan Hunter, the Madison Connor take over. And they're all more than capable of it. But I think it's just kind of like teams are going to force you to beat them without those two involved. If that includes doubling up Sedona, if that includes doubling up HVO and full court pressing, or like you're going to see teams pull some stuff out that it's like, okay, you know what? We're going to shut them down. If you beat us the other way, you beat us the other way. And it's really, really exciting to be able to see, Taylor Bigby take the few steps up, especially the big step today against NC State. Donovan Hunter, you know what she's capable of. She showed it. And then Madison Connor, we've talked about her, like her scoring prowess and her ability to take over the one is also going to be something that TCU benefits from at some point throughout the road.
And then we touched on it earlier, Maddie Schur is out. That's just going to add more depth when she does return. There's no timetable on it, but that's going to be exciting when she's able to suit up and kind of work her way back into the lineup. And then, like we've talked about, their defense is going to be so critical this year. Even in those blowout games, they're playing full court, full 40 minutes. No one's taking a break, they're going for loose balls, all those things. And you saw that today against NC State. They didn't force a ton of turnovers. They only forced seven, but they did enough to make those guards uncomfortable and just to make NC State get out of their rhythm a little bit. And against elite teams, you're not going to force 20 turnovers. But if you can get them a little bit uncomfortable and out of their rhythm, that can be enough. That's kind of what we saw tonight.
Yeah, you just touched on it. And I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from the three games prior to NC State that I came away with the most was that the pressure that they were putting on opponents, it wasn't because they were just trying to blow teams out. It was literally just tr they were trying to go 100% the entire game to prepare for the matchups that they have in non-conference. And you saw the team kind of really take that extremely serious. No one took their foot off the gas, even in the first final 5 minutes of the game. Like, it was really, really interesting for me to see that it was like, wow, okay, they're taking this extremely serious, no matter who their opponent is.
Yeah, and then that speaks also to they've bought into what Coach Campbell wants to do, and if they're bought in now, and they keep progressing and keep developing, they've got the potential to achieve a lot and reach the heights that I think everyone's kind of hoping they do. So we're gonna look ahead now. So there are two more home games before they go on their first road trip. These should really just be kind of tune-up games before the Cayman Island Classic. The first one is Thursday, November 21st against Incarnate Word. It's at 12 p.m. It's the field trip day, so schools are going to be bussing in some young girls who are going to get a chance to watch this team play. So that'll be against Incarnate Word on Thursday, and then Sunday, November 24th at 4 p.m. they're going to play Idaho State out of the Big Sky. And this is the football bounce back game where you can get cheaper tickets, and there'll be post game autographs as well. So those are the next two home games for this team, and those will be the last two home games until after the Thanksgiving break.
First of all, that field trip thing is super cool. I didn't even know that was a thing. That is amazing and really, really cool. I'm sure that place will be rocking with all of those young
Yes.
students sharing for them. I am interested to see Thursday how many minutes Sedona and HVL and them get coming off. You know, Sedona playing 40 minutes, HVL play 38, same with Madison Connor. Like, do you think they're getting more than 30 minutes at all in this game?
I don't know that there'd be a need for it.
Yeah.
I expect Incarnate Word to go very similar to kind of the first three games. Especially if they apply that press, they're going to get turnovers. They're going to get that lead up pretty quick. So from a minute standpoint and kind of a score standpoint, expect to look pretty similar first three games. Even Idaho State, they're a good Big Sky team, but they're still Big Sky. They're not going to have the guard play necessarily to match up. So I think both of these games are an opportunity to kind of, in a sense, give them a little bit of breather. They're not going to have to play 40 minutes and be super intense. Kind of what I'm thinking those games will look
Yeah.
like. Yeah. So that brings us to the Cayman Island Classic, which will be November 29 and 30th. If you want to watch these games on TV, it is on Flow College. I think it's just kind of an online streaming site.
It's very big for college baseball at the beginning of the season. If you want to use it, good luck on getting it to connect and stay stable the whole time. But if you get it to connect and stay stable, it's not actually pretty bad. But good luck getting to that point is the biggest issue.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and talk about these two games, just because we're not going to record again before they play Notre Dame in South Florida in the Cayman Islands. So they do open with Notre Dame on November 29. Notre Dame is ranked sixth in the country, so this is going to be another step up from NC State. Picked to win the ACC, they reached the Sweet 16 last season. They're currently 4-0. Really, the only kind of notable opponent on their schedule so far is Purdue, and they beat them 102-58. They will play Southern Cal before the Cayman Islands. They have six players who are currently averaging double figures, and they have the preseason ACC Player of the Year, last season's Defensive Player of the Year, and the Rookie of the Year from last year in Hannah Hidalgo. She's averaging 23 points, seven rebounds, and 5.3 steals, and she led the nation in steals last year. So,
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at Notre Dame, who, minus the height of Sedona Prince, I think is probably one of the most evenly matched teams with TCU in the country. They're kind of a one-trick pony at the forward position, the same way that TCU kind of is. Like, I know they both have depth, but nothing that you're like, okay, well, you know, we could run two bigs out there. They're kind of the same trick. That I think both of these teams are going to really match up evenly, especially with how high octane their offenses are.
I agree. And you kind of allude to this. They do have two players that they consider forwards. Liatu King, she's 6 foot. She averages 17 points and 9.7 rebounds. And then a freshman, Kate Koval, who's 6'5", 13.3 points and 11 rebounds per game. And so I think, like you said, those will kind of be your size matchup there with Sedona to kind of help maybe neutralize that a little bit. But then the guard play is going to be a really good test. And the thing is, Notre Dame hasn't really been talked about as far as their non-conference schedule. And I think a big part of that is just because it's not at home. It's not a game that's on everyone's radar. But it's another chance for them to see how they compare with an elite established program and team. They've been holding opponents to 23% from 3-point range, and that's one of the things that TCU loves to do is shoot the three. So that's something to watch. Notre Dame, on the flip side, is not a heavy 3-point team. They've attempted about half as many threes as TCU this year. And they've been shooting about 52% from the field overall. So I think it's a very comparable team all the way around.
Yeah, I think this is one of those that you're definitely, I know that you're looking at Kate Colwell for Notre Dame, who's slightly comparable in height. She's still 2 inches shorter, which is a pretty big difference in basketball. But I think the biggest thing is that Sedona is in her 7th year of college basketball. You're going against a freshman who's 2 inches shorter than you. That I think that's kind of where it's a slight edge, but it's a really big edge. That if Sedona is able to dominate that her rim presence and the paint, then it doesn't matter what the guards do because they're so evenly matched up that that could be a really, really huge factor for this game.
And then after that, on the 30th, they'll play South Florida. South Florida's picked to win the American Athletic. They're 3-2 right now. Their two kind of big name losses were to number 2 UConn 86-49, and they lost to Vanderbilt 62-49. And they're also going to play Louisville before this tournament. One note on the UConn game before we get into some of the players that I found interesting looking at that box score: UConn had 58 points in the paint. Yeah, and so I started looking at the size for South Florida. Their tallest, they have a player who's 6'4", but the one of all the players who play quite a bit, their tallest one is 6'2". So again, you get back to that advantage TCU on the size, and also potentially, I think, from the guard standpoint of driving in, getting to the basket, and forcing teams to collapse there, so then you open up your shots on the outside. But yeah, I thought that 58 points in the paint thing was an interesting note because UConn doesn't have a lot of size.
Yeah, I think it'd be a really, really good game that if there was ever a time to try it against them is running a two big system in the offense and seeing what it looks like, especially for whenever you have to play the likes of maybe South Carolina. You maybe want to try a two big system, see how it goes on defense. That this would be a really good game to at least kind of get them to get in the flow of things offensively. That it's a nice trying game. Also, at the same time, it's a slight trap game because you're playing on a back-to-back day after a really big game against Notre Dame. That if you do beat Notre Dame, that now you're playing a second game immediately. That who knows what the stamina and conditioning looks like, especially if Sedona and Madison Connor and HVL are all playing 35 plus minutes again. Like, I think it's just something that could be a very interesting game when you look at the final score, but not really telling of what the actual story is. Especially because your game right after that is going to be against South Carolina, that it's like, ooh, or you might be looking forward ahead because there's no really big game till then, that it's like, it could be a slight trap game, but I think not really because it is a weird back-to-back game that you don't see too much often.
No, I think that's a really good point. The fatigue could play a factor depending on how that Notre Dame goes game goes. Absolutely. And South Florida has some good players. They have a guard, Sammy Puisis, who's averaging 14 points and almost 5 rebounds per game. They have the preseason player of the year for the conference in Romie Levy, 6.3 points and 5.5 rebounds per game this season. I don't think that's quite what her numbers were last year, so she might be off to a bit of a rough start. And then Lauren Putu, who's their forward, who'll probably be battling with Sedona, putting up 8 points and grabbing 6 rebounds. So they've got some players. So it's not to say, oh, they'll just, run over South Florida. I think this is one, just kind of looking at things, I see it close at first, especially if there's a little bit of fatigue or something like that. But I could see once she's with the press and just sheer talent being able to pull away in the second half, and making that score a little bit more comfy for you is kind of how I think I see this game going.
Yeah, I guess my biggest takeaway from this is going to be I first of all, I'm really thankful that TCU did get the draw of playing Notre Dame first. He's playing them on a second game, or either both teams even having to play each other on short rest would just be a dishonor to what this game could really be. And it's really exciting to see them play first. If TCU was to play, South Florida extremely close, I put no stock into it, regardless of, what happens with the Notre Dame game, win or lose. Playing a back-to-back is absolutely brutal, especially after a flight like that and everything that I'm just kind of I think the Notre Dame game will be a really good test that not of what they're capable of, but what did they take away from this game against NC State? Are they able to maybe close out better? Are they maybe to all better to get a better start? What happens when they're down by 10 points? Are they able to bring it back like NC State was? Like, there's still a lot that we're starting to figure out. We're only four games in.
Yeah, and that was mentioned in the press conference too, is this team, as great as things are going, this team has only been together since June. And the season is barely starting. So there's a lot to learn and a lot to kind of figure out. And I agree with you on Notre Dame. I think this is going to be just another step in the direction that they want to go. Hopefully, you want them to win. You want to see them keep going on that trend. But if they were to lose to Notre Dame, are you growing? Are you taking steps in the right direction? And I think this team absolutely can do that, and I think they will. And I think too, doing it away from home is kind of a good thing too. Just being able to play an elite team somewhere else and know that you can compete away from home is going to be good for them too, getting ready for conference play.
Yeah, I think, it's all of this is playing towards the South Carolina game, whether regardless win or lose, that we talked about it before the season when we did our first podcast was, win or lose NC State, win or lose Notre Dame. It's like you're kind of learning what each other is going to play like on the court for when you play the big test against South Carolina. And even then, it's win or lose. What is it going to teach you for conference play?
All right. Anything else about kind of these upcoming games before we head into some signings that were recently announced?
No, I'm just really excited to kind of see what this offense looks like once Maddie Scherr gets inserted back. I don't think she offers as much defensive ability to the likes of Taylor Bigby or Donovan Hunter that I think is what's going to be really interesting is because she's so much, her basketball IQ is so good offensively that I'm really excited to see what happens when she gets on the court with HBO and Madison Connor and Sedona.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun to see kind of how things progress and grow once she's able to get in. So TCU did announce earlier, a few days ago, a couple days before this game, that they have signed three freshmen for the 25-26 season. This is part of the early signing period. They have Clara Bielefeld, a 6'4 guard from Germany. Sarah Portlock, a 6'8 center from Australia, and Emily Hunter, a 6'7 center from Nolensville, Tennessee. So Clara, she comes from Germany. She can play multiple positions. She was the top playmaker for the German national team at the FIBA U18 Women's EuroBasket in July. She was the MVP at the FIBA U16 Women's EuroBasket Division B in 2023. And she played professionally for Herner TC in the Damian Basketball Bundesliga, the premier women's basketball championship in Germany. So she brings a ton of experience at a very high elite level. It's just stocking up that guard position once you have Van Lith and all these other girls leave at the end of this year. I think this is a really good pickup.
Yeah, it's really interesting to kind of see the direction that Mark Campbell's going because especially after last year where he talked about like it's kind of a weird time that sports are in that the portal's so big. We saw already hit it. And then now, two of the recruits we're talking about aren't even from the US. Like it is really interesting to see what Mark Campbell's gonna be able to do because getting someone, like Clara who has played on the national team, who has played in the FIBA U16, and played professionally. Like, that's a lot of experience at such a young age to step onto a court that it's like, maybe this is the way the whole time. Like, if it gets results, it gets results.
And then Sarah Portlock comes from Australia. She's played for Basketball Australia for 3 years. Again, lots of FIBA tournaments. So again, that international stage, somewhere she's been. She was one of 30 players from the Asia Pacific's list selected to Basketball Without Borders Asia 2023. And it's an invite-only development camp sponsored by NBA and FIBA. She won gold with the under-20 national championships. and was recently selected to the U20 state women's team for 2025. So again, just a ton of experience, 6'8" center. So trying to bring someone in who he can kind of develop into, I mean, potentially the next Sedona, just someone that nobody else is going to be able to match this size. And if she's got some moves, you can really do a lot of damage with that.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it today against NC State, who is an Elite Eight team. When you have someone with the size of Sedona Prince and this girl's an inch taller, like, that's huge on the court. And I mean, TCU can see, like, if they're able to do, like, Sedona Prince is now mocked to go in the top six picks of the women WNBA draft for next year. Like, it is absurd what can happen when you are have that height. And Mark Campbell's been known to prove to be able to develop players into good players. So like I so such a good pickup. I mean, you're about to talk about Emily Hunter, but she's 6'7", the same height as Sedona. Like, height is so plays such a larger role in on the women's basketball side of things as compared to the men's basketball side, that it's no matter where you have to go, you have to recruit them because they play such a crucial role.
Well, and yeah, because it's rare to find a girl who's 6'7", 6'8", 6'5". Like, that's not super common. So to sign two in the same class who are 6'7" and above, that is a huge get. And they're going to push each other to be better. Yeah, they're both going to be freshmen and all these things, but I just having them is going to be huge for the program.
And one with as much experience as Sarah has already, like that is, you know, you just said finding one that tall is already hard to begin with. Finding one with this kind of experience, you can't beat that.
And so yeah, like we alluded to, Emily Hunter from Nashville, she moved to TPLS Christian Academy for her junior year last season. She averaged 15 points, 11 rebounds, and 2.6 blocks per game as a junior, and she scored 47 points in a game last February. So she can score, looks like she can play defense, kind of just fits that mold of what Campbell has with Sedona of can score and play defense.
Yeah, and it's super, super exciting to see getting two players like that. But Tori, the number one player in the country is still available. And she's from Texas. A big season like now, where she's still uncommitted, like that's a huge splash. Like it's still on the table. And Mark Campbell's already been known to be able to go out and sell great pitches. He got HVL here, he got Haley Cavender here before, you know, she transferred back out. Like he is great at giving pitches that it's like, who knows what can happen with it, with as far as this team can go, especially with the win against maybe South Carolina or something like that.
No, I mean that, and that's the thing. Like I said, this is just the early signing period, and like you're saying, there's still a lot of talent out there to be picked up from the high school ranks, obviously. But then, and we won't get into it now, but even the portal, that portal is going to open up at the end of the season, and you can fill whatever holes or gaps that you need to. I mean, teams are watching what Campbell is doing here. They're seeing the culture he's building, the way these girls interact with each other, and that's part of it too. It's not only are you winning, you're winning in a way that's fun to watch, and you watch the way these girls care about each other and support each other throughout these games. Players want to come play in a place like that. So everything he's doing is just putting more eyes on TCU, which, if you play it right, can be a fantastic thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all we got for this episode. We'll be back in in a few weeks to chat about that South Carolina game. We'll have plenty of stuff to talk about after this Cayman Island Classic. But thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. For JD Andrus, I'm Tori Couch. Thank you for listening to Splash Pad, a TCU on SI podcast. Until next time, have a great rest of your day.